11 o'clock on a Thursday means it's time for a full hour of City Stories with Urban Milwaukee President Jeremy Janine on Point Taken.
Oh, you know you've made it, Kristen. First of all, thanks to all of you for finding us on your radio dial or your live stream, whatever that is. Jeremy Janine, UrbanMilwaukee.com, now is official. I think you were asking for this, right? Weren't you?
I did ask for it, but I think we decided that he deserved it.
I joked about it because our good friend Daniel Bice got one, and you guys were promoting it.
So. Yes, yes. And you've earned your... Not like you haven't done the heavy lifting to get here, because your reporting at UrbanMilwaukee.com is some of the best there is. So you've made it. You can
congratulations.
Maybe we'll get you a shirt
bucket
at some
list
point.
Checked off.
All right. Here, next comes the coffee mug and the golden watch.
Hey, before we get to some of the other stuff you're going to talk about, and I love this museum property story, so we'll probably go to that next. But did we milk every bit of possible juice out of the Hugh Jackman story in Milwaukee media? Because, man, he was not. First of all, I like him. He's a great actor. He's committed to the cause. He's sincere. So it's not an attack on him. But, man, we milked the hell out of that story.
Well, I think Hugh Jackman made it easy because he seemed happy to be here.
Right? He seemed so joyful and excited.
It wasn't just inside media, inside baseball. They call it the car wash when you just kind of come and you do your radio hit and your car TV appearance and everything. That no, he seemed generally. He went to Cops. He went to MPS. He went... Keggles Inn in West Dallas.
He went to the Performing Arts High School, and they sang for him, which was incredibly touching.
And it didn't seem performative in the "I'm checking the box." It was I'm here. I'm going to engage. I'm going to serve a lot of custard, and he seemed to have a great time.
He seemed genuinely charmed.
It was
by our Midwest
sufficiently melted, but well earned.
All right, where would you like to start? Because you had some great stories this week. I'm intrigued by the museum story, the property there, but we can go where you want to go.
Let's hold off on that, and let's start with the flag, because we have not milked that for all it's worth.
Really? I didn't think you were going to go
there.
Are
you sure?
Wow.
I am now confident, having seen it, the inside. So if we talked about the flag.
When we last touched on this story, where were we?
Probably late June. The Common Council, after kind of hemming and hawing, said, okay, we'll give this another go. We're going to create a task force. We're not going to pay them. We're not going to give them any financial resources. So no city money is being spent on this. But we're going to give them 4 months to host a design contest. Then they'll come back to us. And the idea was, at the city birthday party, which is on January 29th this year, Milwaukee's 180th birthday, that the new flag could be unveiled, and we'd probably all know what it was before then, but it'd be this coming out party for the flag. Well, it turns out that this task force is completely stuck in neutral, that I had some emails, internal emails provided to me that show the task force met once, they selected a chair, they had 4 months to do their work, then they met again a month later where they discussed how they might host a design contest in the future. Then a month after that, so we're in September now, and the due date is essentially November 1st, the attorney who got assigned to assist the task force said, well, I'm not quite sure what my ask is here, nor am I an intellectual property lawyer, so wait, what do you want me to do again? Well, then by the time we got to late October, the chair of the task force wasn't responding to the emails, and finally they did get together, and then there was, okay, I'll draft a quick follow-up. This will be easy. And then again, the task force chair, Venus Williams of Alice's Garden wasn't responding. So we're now into December 1st. Supposedly in the last 24 hours, there's been some discussion. There's been Peter Bergelis, the alderman, has wanted to move forward. The city clerk's office says they're ready to move forward doing something. City attorney's office says we're waiting for Venus Williams. And Venus Williams, via the mayor's office, tells me she's waiting for the city attorney's office. So there's lots of pointing in different directions and almost no action.
And no drafts of any flag.
No drafts of any flag whatsoever.
I'm to the point where
let it die.
Yeah.
Just let it, let the people who like the people's flag fly the people's flag. Let the people like the official flag do whatever it's going to do. Just let it go. That's my take.
That being said, and I agree with you, what's the objection to the people's flag?
The objection from certain members of the Common Council, and this goes back to 2018, so the majority of the Common Council has since turned over, is that the process was not an official process. It wasn't inclusive to select it. And it's not represented throughout the entire city. Now I'm on this weird quest to run every street in the city, and I have noticed I do see the people's flag really throughout the city.
Yes.
So it is widespread. Steve flies at Note Creek.
I do it on my ship.
Do you really?
I have a flag. I love that flag. I think it's a great flag. I just looked at it recently.
Like, I don't think there's going to be any process where everyone feels included. It's a big city. People aren't necessarily paying attention. They don't have skin in the game. Like, there's never going to be a perfect process for this. And even if they do get to another flag, there's going to be a ton of people who don't like it. It was like, this is dumb. I'm going to keep flying the people's flag. That's
funny. Certainly an unlikely outcome.
So much wasted energy on this.
Given my thoughts about public art, you've been in studio enough to me. What's my next question to you?
Well, about where the calling appears on the flag.
Did that have all this public input on what we think about the calling? Or since it's been...
Well, I think the representative of a flag is a little different than one piece of street
not
art.
In my mind. I have no confidence, given that some people think the calling is great art, that they would screw this up as well. It would... I am someone who doesn't even live in Milwaukee, and I fly the people's flag on my shed in the summer occasionally, along with the Summerfest flag. Again, an event that happens in Milwaukee. I live in Oak Creek. I think those are demonstrations that a guy like me, who's white, old, and not even living in the city, works in the city, likes some of these things that maybe we didn't have a formal process. Maybe we don't always need to have this labored, overanalyzed, pick a descriptor. Maybe that's not the way to do everything.
You really riled us up with the stupid flag story to start off with.
It was bait.
It's always based.
Rage bait. We were just talking about it yesterday.
That was a great segment. People should listen to it.
It's always based on my hate of the calling. It always comes back to that on me. And again, I'm open-minded enough to say, okay, calling supporters, let's stick it on the lake. So you're walking along the beautiful lakefront, and then all of a sudden you stumble upon the calling. It would look fantastic. So don't... I've joked about, you know, just taking a torch to it. No, I'm an open-minded guy. Put it on the lakefront, not on where it is now, on the end of Wisconsin Avenue, obscuring what is a brilliant, brilliant view of the amazing art museum. But get it out of there. That's all I'm saying. I think that's a balanced opinion.
Keep it rolling. I got a lot of stories.
I can go another segment on this.
Absolutely. Shut it down. All right. When we come back, we'll talk about the ICE Center.
We can certainly talk about that. We can also hit on the, already the text line is lighting up with what's happening with the current public museum.
Okay, let's
when
do that.
It moves.
He is Jeremy Janine from Urban Milwaukee, and this is Point Taken. Let it go.
Let it go. All right. Oh, editorial comment by our producer, Jazz. Think you got the smarts? Well, join Vince Vitrano, Greg Hill, Eric Bilstead, Sandy Max for WTMJ's Trivia Showdown next Wednesday, December 10th at 7 p.m. at one of my favorite restaurants, Trattoria de Carlo in Pizzeria in Oak Creek. It's two blocks from my house, man. It is amazing. Frank Carini, the owner, does a great job. Their food, you like traditional Sicilian food, but that's just part of it because this is a Quizmaster trivia event benefiting, of course, the great, great Capco's Kids to Kids Toy Drive. So I'm going to be gone. I'm going to be in LA for a little bit and a little Mexican trip, but I want you to overwhelm that place. Show up, get there early, have the appetizers, have the eggplant strips, have the pizza. It is amazing. All the pasta dishes. Show up for us for 620 WTMJ, the gang, the crew, the teammates, but have fun. It is a great, great local place in Oak Creek. And I know some of you Franklin people come over because they still remember me as mayor and they love me. So come on over from Franklin. Come on over from South Milwaukee. Come on up from Caledonia, Sturtevant, wherever. Have fun. Did I sell the hell out of that? I did.
You did.
Yeah.
Good job.
And more importantly, bring an unused toy, unwrapped, or text the word toy to 855-616-1620 to donate. You can donate cash, which is always appreciated. Bring your crew. Play for a great cause. These are fun. I think this is the last one, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
I have to hear. I did not hear how last night went.
Technically, there's one more with some ESPN hosts.
Oh, yeah. ESPN has
one. All right. There you go.
We'll give them some love. I'll probably talk about this one more time before we get out of here today. But, all right. So, Jeremy Janine, UrbanMilwaukee.com, our regular guy on Thursday. All right. So, the museum is, when is that done? The new one?
Early 2027, I believe, is okay. the general window.
It's up. It's, you know, they're doing all the things they do in the construction.
I think it looks pretty cool, actually.
Yeah,
it's very futuristic, but I feel like the new building looks cool. That's my opinion.
I think it fits in that area. Yeah.
Yeah, it's by Fiserv.
There's a freeway off ramp there, and it's a nice welcome entry compared to a one story auto body shop or what was there before. I do think we've made a great industry now of people that are going to have to clean that building to keep it looking nice and white in the future.
Oh. Milwaukee loves the white buildings. We have a lot, even though...
It is called the Cream City.
Yeah, but
Cream
and white, but I mean, look at the Barrett buildings, right? Couture and Modern, I mean, they're whites, and there's a lot of white towers. What is the fascination with white, do you think?
I think it's just a trend in architecture at the moment. Oh. You could go to Chicago and make the same argument, which is, we are the Cream City, they're devil in the white city down there.
Ah, yes.
I just love how you dropped the architectural. That shows you why Jerry Maginni is here. But let's go back to the story. So the existing museum.
Yes, which
right,
is
right down the street, basically.
For several decades has been around James Lovell, 7th and Wells. Mm-hmm. It's a 3.7-acre site. The county owns the property.
Oh, boy.
The county owns the collections that are in the museum, although nonprofit runs it now. So the nonprofit will move out and move to the new building in 2027. That's slowly starting to happen now. And then the county will be left with this 3.7 acres. And you're like, how big is that? That's really big for a downtown site. The 2040 downtown plan calls for dividing it by extending 8th Street through it, which currently terminates. So it'll likely be broken up. But we now have a plan, a conceptual plan, to see what actually could go here. Because, you know, we can hire architecture students to be like, oh, 80-story building could go here. Well, reality doesn't allow that. But Bear Development Group, C.G. Schmidt, which is the general contractor, and Grafe got together. And they determined that the lots there, when you divide it all up, could host almost 600 units of housing. Now, whether that's affordable housing, market rate housing, condos, apartments, they didn't get way into the weeds on that. But they did produce some renderings. You can see them in Urban Milwaukee on an article by Graham Kilmer. Kind of see the scale of the buildings they're thinking. One of the things that would remain is MacArthur Square, the city's biggest, completely underutilized park. You probably couldn't even get there if you tried right now. It is a very strange space.
Mm-hmm.
But we do now have a plan of what's going to happen, and the county does say that they intend to sell the site as soon as the museum moves out.
What? Why? Before we talk about more of that, why is MacArthur Park so underutilized? Why is it just like abandoned, even though you have that incredible view of the entire city when you're there?
So really what MacArthur Square is at the end of the day is a city-owned parking structure attached to a county-owned building, so there's this weird governmental issue, and then it's elevated slightly, so you can't just walk into the park. You have to walk up to the park.
Yeah.
And so it's a real nightmare to get there, and I've tried to get there sometimes from within the courthouse, and you really can't. The doors are locked.
So dumb.
So using your expertise and your sort of knowledge about Milwaukee, you know, I was reading some of the texts. They say you'll build another big hotel. And they're talking about this texture is talking about combining the properties. There's another parcel there we talked about, right?
There is, to the east of it, there's also a state office building.
Yeah,
the state's going to move out in short order. That's probably the more logical hotel site because it's directly across from the convention center.
So you think it's more likely that it would be split up or pieced up?
I think you're more likely to see action faster if you split it up. 3.7 acres is it's a big site to pull off. If you think about like BMO Tower, that sits on less than an acre. So that's a massive 25-story building that is on a very tight site.
I mean, housing. I mean, I was just reading some Chicago reporting about they're debating taking some property and building some of these affordable. But, I mean, Chicago, well, I'm older than you guys, but the legacy was they built some of these things and they were horrific. Cabrini Green, Robert Taylor Homes, they had horrific levels of crime and problems, and they're now sort of coming back into popularity, not linking poverty with crime, but that's sort of that atmosphere.
I mean, I think social science says there is a link between poverty
there's
and crime.
There's a lot of let's keep it at it's an open debate. Let's just say that. I've worked in Cabrini Green in early in my career. It was a tough area.
Oh, no, I'm saying there is a link.
Yes.
That when people get desperate, the level of crime goes up.
So I know that idea of affordable housing is always out there, but taking that property and making it affordable housing, okay, who's paying for that?
So the primary way the federal government fund affordable housing now is through low-income housing tax credits. Those go into often mixed-income buildings. So that if you look at Robert Taylor Homes, Cabrini Green, two great examples, Pruitt-Igoe and St. Louis, that they were these silos that were only and they weren't even really affordable housing. They were people that essentially had no incomes all clustered together.
Yeah.
These are people that affordable housing today is up to even 80% of the area income level. So you can be making $60,000, $70,000. So it's probably your waitresses that are looking for affordable housing, not someone that has no income whatsoever. And you're not the desire, and that's clear through all the county's affordability programs, is not to cluster those people all in one spot.
Yeah. Good idea. Real quick before the break, how long to take that existing museum down, do you think?
Less than a year to demolish it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a pretty basic structure.
Can't they extend? Don't they have a bunch of events next year? Wasn't that the current public museum?
Yes,
didn't they announce that they're doing a lot of 2026 events to celebrate the last year?
Absolutely. I'm sure they have food and froth and all that coming up. So the museum is very much open. You should go. I think it's the last Thursday in every month. It's free. There's all kinds of other discounted days. Pay full price. It's a wonderful facility.
I went last year. I always take my grandson Max. It's just a cool place. And I'm looking forward to what the new museum offers because They're going to change it up. They're going to mix it up. And change, as I said often, even when I was a former mayor, change is a good thing, even though it's hard for people to sometimes understand. So I'm looking forward to that. But celebrate the current museum because it's a really cool place to go. Quick break. Point taken.
Garfus Park is melting in the dark. All the sweet green ice is flowing down. Someone left the cake out in the rain.
Jeremy and Janine, UrbanMilwaukee.com. Where's that tchotchke store so we can give you some love right before the holidays? Everybody's shopping for Christmas. I will be there at some point in the...
I'm going to say, have you gone yet?
No, I'm going to do it between my arrival back in the States.
All right, go get some stocking stuffers.
Yes, that's what it's great for. I mean, all things Milwaukee, right?
All things Milwaukee and Wisconsin Pride, 755 North Milwaukee Street, UrbanMilwaukeeTheStore.com, online, kitty corner from Hotel Metro if you're looking for a marker.
I was driving by the other day. I said, should I stop? And I said, no, I got to get home. Well, it's almost done.
It's nice and warm today, so that's a selling point to anyone walking by.
Yeah, right. You're being facetious because it's not warm.
Yeah, yeah, that's why.
The
that's why
you're selling. Warm, so if you need to warm up,
we got the heat cranked up in the thing. Who's paying those utility bills? Come on,
it's the steam heat from We Energies. Thank you.
Oh, you see,
the pipe into the building runs right under our store. It's a bonus on a day like today.
Interesting. What, you got a quick one? Because we have no time.
Yeah, so we have ICE has finally confirmed what I've long suspected, which is their facility that is now on the MSOE campus. MSOE, since 2023, has wanted to redevelop this building. Half of Homeland Security moved out. ICE kept dragging their feet. They're trying to move to the northwest side. They are ready to move to the northwest side now, and they confirmed they will be vacating the MSOE building.
ICE, baby. All right. We have local news with the very, very highly talented Neil Doyle coming up in a little bit. And then we have, of course, ABC. And we got lots more to talk about with Jeremy Janine, who joins us every Thursday on Point Take. And she's Chris and I'm Steve.
Welcome back to Point Taken. I am Kristen Bry. He is Steve Cipiti. And we are talking to Jeremy Janine on a Thursday from Urban Milwaukee. I said that backwards. Jeremy Janine from Urban Milwaukee on a Thursday. Sure.
Whichever way. People got other
it's
words.
It's not written down. You can it's do not, whatever you want.
I can do whatever I want. Yeah. So I am co-host. I'm not the
sometimes you're just the
sidekick.
You're just
I'm
the
not
boss
the sidekick. I am a co-host. It's equally,
did I say
equally
you're a
my show.
Yeah. Did I say the opposite?
No, I'm kidding. Okay. All right.
She's like giving me this glare
where
like I said something
next,
wrong.
Jeremy?
Well, oh, we came back to Hot in the City by Billy Idol. So let's go to After Deadly May Fire, Milwaukee adds new safety requirements.
Ah.
Interesting.
So there was the Mother's Day fire that five people tragically died in. Several other people were injured. This was 27th and Highland, an apartment building built in 19, if I remember the years off the top of my head. It was built in 1972, and if it had been built in 1973, it would have had the requirement to have sprinklers. But it's grandfathered in. It was built before the sprinkler requirement. And we now know there's about 750 buildings in Milwaukee that have at least three units that should have sprinklers but don't. Should being that they would save lives if they were there. But they legally are not required to. And the state hasn't. There's a package of bills from Democrats to try and incentivize installing sprinklers. There's questions about what they would cost. Seems unlikely that there'll be movement at the state level. But the city has found a couple things it can do. Two notable things. Number one, it's going to have a new disclosure. So if you sign a lease and live in one of these buildings, if you've ever lived in an apartment in Milwaukee or anywhere in Wisconsin, you're probably familiar with this lead paint disclosure. You just kind of looked at, signed, tossed to the side. In Milwaukee, you're now going to have a no sprinkler disclosure. What kind of impact that'll have, I don't know, but it will be something presented. And then the other thing is the city's going to double the amount of inspections. So state law says that you have to inspect these buildings at least once a year. It doesn't say that you can't inspect them more than that. And what that will do, we'll have the city going into these 750 buildings more frequently, checking for things like sprinklers, smoke alarms, not sprinklers, for smoke alarms, other fire suppression things. But also will assess a fee that could start to tip the scales to, okay, I'm going to get this fee every year, a couple hundred dollars extra. Maybe it kind of washes out that I should start investing in sprinklers if I'm building on.
Because the fee, like, so the building owners get the fee because that's just part of the deal of owning the building.
You get inspected by the city, you pay a fee, and it's to cover the cost of the inspection as state law allows it.
Interesting.
All right.
Go ahead.
Where are we going next?
We can jump quickly. We talked about it in the break before. 27th Street Bridge, another thing to watch out for with the I-94 project. This will be a local street impact. Starting next year, 27th Street over Interstate 94, which if you're familiar with Milwaukee at all, closing just part of the 27th Street Bridge means that all of it is closed, and it's a very long, about a mile long bridge.
Yeah.
That is going to be closed. It's going to be closed at the same time the 16th Street Bridge is by Pottawatomie. Those will overlap for a couple months. Unfortunate closure there. The 16th Street Bridge does allow you by Pottawatomie to go, and the Father James Grappie Bridge, it technically is named now, to go down to the ground to Canal Street. The 27th Street Bridge doesn't have that offer.
Kind of important.
Who makes these decisions that these things are going to overlap and they can't be separated?
I don't know on this particular case yet. I have people I'm going to ask. But the projects look like, based on how they lay out, that maybe the city was trying to get in advance of this project, and maybe the state will delay it a couple of months, which will really minimize it. But as it stands on the schedules of both projects, 16th Street Bridge closed through October and then of 2026. But in spring of 2026, the 27th Street Bridge is going to close. So they'll both be closed
Most
of 2026.
So during the peak of like Brewers season, 94 is going to be under construction, and both these bridges are going to be closed.
Correct.
Great. Cool.
Real quick, Beans and Barley's closing after 30-some years.
52 years, actually.
How did I miss that?
I think it's 30 years at that location. On Murray.
Yeah, yeah.
An interesting situation where it's on its second generation of owners. The first generation still owns the property, which has another business below, a miniature golf bar. But on the east side, it's going to close because the property's being sold, and the owners of the restaurant currently, at one point, said they're going to buy it, and now they say they can't buy it, and basically they've never recovered from the pandemic. They've had a health issue unfortunate health issue there with hepatitis at one point. Just things have seemed to not go well since 2020 for Beans and Barley, but a 50-year run as a restaurant is to be complimented.
Loyal customers, too. I remember talking to somebody about this a while ago, and they just love that place. So, I mean, it's cool. It's always sad when somebody, like, moves on, but, you know, life changes. It's you know, unfortunate.
Is Victor's still being bought?
Yes, there's some interesting things happening there. So Victor's is being bought by someone that wants to open a bar and call it Vic's, even though it has no connection to Victor's. There is a coalition of people mobilizing against it reopening because it appears to be a nightclub in disguise that would be coming there. So you can find a search for Victor's on Urban Milwaukee. We have coverage of the application to open a new bar there. We don't have the scuttlebutt published yet on what's happening, but I just revealed it to you there, that there is a concern that it's a nightclub in disguise, not just a bar.
Oh.
What bar in town has picked up the slack for like white single males who wanted to pick up older women? Just curious.
I could get in a lot of trouble for offering different names quickly, yeah. But there are certainly many. I would suggest looking around Cathedral Square.
Oh,
wow. News you can use.
There you go. There you go.
Wow. How about that? I'll take a quick break. Get on 620 WTMJ.
Text me Merry Christmas. Let me know you care.
Jeremy Janine, UrbanMilwaukee.com is where you can find his great reporting. And I always say, if you want to know what's going on in Milwaukee and all the things we talk about in this segment, that's a great source. And you can sign up. And it's worth the price of admission, as I like to say. Kristen dancing in studio because of the great music played by producer Jazz. She's doing it holiday style, which I love. All right. Brewers, property, developments. Where does that stand?
Well, you were on vacation a couple weeks ago, a month ago. Kristen and I
That doesn't sound like him.
No, not at all.
Kristen and I talked about this plan that showed how to develop around 30 acres around American Family Field, what can conceptually happen there, a mix of uses, a market study on really what could happen. There's a conclusion that it could support about $1 billion in development on that land.
A billion, you say?
A billion. Mm. 800 million. And what interest do the Brewers have in this? Well, they weren't like, yeah, we're checking it out. Their comment was that they're waiting for the final study, which was their way of just kind of burying it, it felt like. So Mayor Cavalier Johnson had pushed for that as part of the stadium funding package, that this at least needs to be studied. He called it a sea of parking. He wanted to see more economic activity there. So Bruce Murphy, Urban Milwaukee editor and longtime skeptic of stadium funding deals, important in this discussion, had the audacity to ask, well, if this is important to the mayor, has he ever discussed it with Mark Antanasio? And the answer was no, they've never once talked about it. And the evidence is that the public might be interested in more economic activity around American Family Field, but the Brewers don't seem to be.
And so, why is that?
Well, they have this thing where they make money without doing a lot of work. And Bruce's theory is, they just got a new subsidy, so they don't need to, like, the Bucks, part of their pitch for building the stadium downtown and getting the subsidy was the auxiliary development. That was all part of the sales pitch to get the public money. The Brewers never had to really do that.
Okay.
So, but there is this other piece of land that's about to become available. Depending on when in Milwaukee history you come into the discussion, P&H, Komatsu, Joy Global, yeah, on National Avenue there, 44th and National, 44-acre site. They moved to the Harbor District now. The buildings are being demolished. So could the Brewers develop anything there? So Bruce Murphy went and asked the head of the village president for West Milwaukee. It's a different city than Milwaukee, so that has its own issues that Bruce analyzed. But had they ever discussed it with Mark Antanasio? No, never discussed it. Mm. And also Komatsu isn't talking about what they want to do with the site, which doesn't. So that could be that there's this private discussion happening. But you think the Brewers would kind of wink and nod at that at some point, because they might want to get a subsidy to redevelop this industrial site because it's going to be expensive.
All right, quick hitter before we're going to break, because we're going to do a pay it forward after. What do you want to hit on?
Graham Kilmer has a story on the county building a new entrance to the Milwaukee County Zoo. If you're familiar with backups on Blue Mountain Road, they are annoying. If you're trying to get into the zoo, they're annoying. It's strange to me that you can be a zoo member and there's not a special line to expedite you getting in.
Ding, 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 ding.
But $15 million is being spent on this. The new rhino exhibit is about to open. That costs about $23 million. So we're spending slightly more on rhinos than we are on cars at the zoo. It just defies belief that it costs $15 million to allow people to drive into the zoo.
I think we talked about, just change the model of how you...
Just pay when you enter the zoo.
What are we doing here?
Which is part of what's happening, and there's a new traffic light being installed, somehow it ends up $15 million. But it is happening. You can see drawings in Urban Milwaukee.
Overcomplicated. All right, she's Chris and I'm Steve. He is Jeremy Janine, UrbanMilwaukee.com. After the break, we love to do this in the lead up to the holiday season. Pay it forward. We'll hear what Jeremy has to say, and Kristen, and me, after this. Oh, Supertramp. Can't go wrong with that.
Man. I feel like this is a needed palate cleanser to end with Pay It Forward, because I think we were very Statler and Waldorf today as far as almost all the stories that Jeremy brought in. We're like, oh, that's dumb. Why are they doing that? So let's end on some positivity.
All right. So every day, and I'm trying to do this every day, and even when Kristen wasn't here, I was giving you some just Pay It Forward. So I always do one that requires no money, right? Because not everybody has the means, but you can do nice things, and then when it requires some dollars. So this one is sort of an interesting one, and people have done this to me in the past. You get or give $10 or $20 with the condition you have to do it for something nice for somebody else. So you pay it forward twice, really. So it makes you feel better because you're not keeping the money and just using it for whatever you're going to, coffee or whatever, lunch. You think of something unique or fun for another person. So that's a $10 to $20 one. And on the free side of things, as I quickly scroll up, this is a one that I'm a big fan of. I was a mentor for many years in the management part of the private sector. Offer to mentor somebody on a skill that you have that they don't have. Like, it could be landscaping or woodworking or writing. Kristen's a fantastic writer, as are you. Maybe somebody needs help on something or punching something out. I don't know, you can say, well, I'll just have ChatGPT do it. But sometimes really smart people want to, one, show off how smart they are, but two, help you to be better at what you aren't good at. So mentoring is always an easy one. All right, what do you guys got?
You're looking at me.
Yeah, so
the one I like the most, I think you've said it already. It builds. Every single day you do it, it gets better. Pick up a piece of garbage when you're walking around.
Yes, you will find them. I said that last week.
It's tough to do it right now when the snow is on the ground, but the minute the snow melts, they're going to be there in an alarming amount. And the other thing I like to do, I did it on the way here, is if you're walking around downtown and you see someone staring dumbly at their phone, they're probably needing help with directions.
Yes, help them out.
I helped people find the 250 building. I pointed and I said, it's the building across the street with 250 written on it.
Yeah.
They laughed. We laughed. We had a good moment. I kept going.
Great. I was going to say, if you have any kids in your life, offer to babysit for free.
Yes, that's a great
nieces,
one.
Nieces, nephews, neighbors, give their parents a night off with holiday parties coming up and stuff like that. Say, I'll watch them.
My wife, Kathy, and her sisters were all babysitters, and back then they got like 50 cents for the whole night.
Yeah, it was very different than what it is now.
What does it cost now? I'm just curious. Ballpark it for me.
I would say it's somewhere between $15 to $25 an hour.
Holy man.
Would you agree?
Yeah, I must confess, we've actually never used a...
You've never had to use a babysitter.
We have very nice grandparents, both of sets of which are probably listening right now, and I'm eternally grateful for them.
That is very helpful.
Yeah.
My step-in-laws definitely babysit, and my sister-in-law babysit. So, like, we have help, but they're not always available, so we also have babysitters.
Quick story, you're talking about giving people directions. So I come out of work last week when Kristen was off, and I'm upstairs, second floor, and there's a couple my age, well-dressed. They were from out of town, and they go, hey, can you tell me where Grand Avenue is? They were somehow stuck in the past where the old Grand Avenue, which what was that, the 80s?
When it opened? Sure, yeah.
Yeah. I go, that hasn't existed for like decades. I go, but here's the thing. You're in the area of town where there's all kinds of cool things to do. I have no one's ever asked me like where the old version of Grand Avenue was. Is it
like
still
the Grand Avenue Mall?
Yes.
Or like the street Grand?
The mall.
The mall. Oh.
Is there still a sign up somewhere? Like on a garage or anything?
I'm sure if we went in the
There's
alley.
Some in the stairwells from what I remember.
Yes.
Is there really? So that must have been maybe what triggered them? I thought they said they saw it somewhere.
And some of the parking signs say Warriors Parking instead of Golden Eagles.
They were a lovely couple, and I did suggest they go to one of the great restaurants down here, so they were going to do that next. But it took me off guard, because, like, man, that's been a while. You clearly aren't from here. Anyway, Jeremy Jeannie will do it next Thursday. Kristen, you and I will tee it up with Bill and Joe tomorrow. News is next on 620 WTMJ.